Right. Let's have a look. Excellent. Now, some of you may or you may not be familiar with this program. Is anybody familiar with this? Yeah? Okay. So this feature on Jeremy Vine program, which is in the middle of the afternoon, asks the question, what makes us human? It's a fascinating insight into people's perception of humanity. They've had many, many people on it. Some of the most recent ones were Martin Lewis, the money expert. You may have seen him on the TV. He believes it's the sharing of ideas or knowledge that is what makes us human and that is what connects us. Another person who was on was an artist by the name of Alison Lapper, and she suggested that there were four things needed: to be loved, to love, to be accepted, and respected. She said there have been a myriad of people on, and each person interviewed seems to have their own view of what makes us human. Following on from that, I'm sure you would probably all have your own idea of what makes us human. My question to you this morning is not what makes us human, but what makes a community? More specifically, what makes a church community? Okay, I'm very unnerved, you're very quiet. I'm not really used to quiet. I'm used to people talking to me a little bit. So what makes it a church community?
Something shared.
Something shared, yeah.
Connections.
Jesus, yes, indeed. Right, I'm going to let you think about that as I go on. Community is one of those words that is just thrown about. Society, it seems, recently has broken down people into their ethnic and their religious groups, and the media just seems to call them a community. For instance, there is the Jewish community, the Christian community, the atheist community, and so on and so on and so on. If you have a way of defining people by a group, then you're going to find that the media will call them a community, whether they are or not. Now, what about this? How many of you use these? Yeah. How many of you would say that the of fellowship, but ask anyone under the age of 40 outside the church what fellowship means, and the chances are you're going to be met with blank stares or a response which directs you to this film. And the reason I know that is because I've asked, what does fellowship mean? Oh, you mean like Fellowship of the Ring, like The Hobbit and, you know, The Lord of the Rings? So, in this context, when people understand fellowship in this context, they understand it is to do with a common goal, that the church is united in a common goal. Now, I don't know if you can see that because I can barely see that. The Cambridge Dictionary defines community as the people living in one particular area or people who are considered a unit because of their common interests, society, group, or nationality. And it's a very, very broad definition. I think you could probably get most things into that and call them a community. As humans, we seek connection. We seek community. We seek relationship. For Christians, that connection, that relationship, that community has to include God. God is at the heart of that community. Now, the early church, as we know, offered care instead of exploitation. It offered hope and reinforced the message that people were valued as more than just a slave, as more than just female, as more than whatever the pagan society deemed them to be. It preached a message of love and forgiveness and became a haven of inclusion in a world that excluded. Tom Bollinger said that church communities are not just about telling unbelievers the way to God. They themselves have to point towards God. That is what the early church was trying to do. Point beyond themselves to the living God. And this is what every church community should be seeking to do, not drawing attention to themselves, but drawing attention to God. There is a painting by Andrei Rublev, which was painted in the 16th century, and you can see that's a very old painting, which has God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gathered round a table. This is the reality of the church. It is relational. It gathers to listen for God, to meet with others who share faith, to break bread, and to pray together. Now, these four things have often been called the four marks of the church, and I will come back to this. Now, the early church was a transformative community. People's thinking, their way of life, their spiritual practices were transformed within the community. Now, there are lots of comments about community and what constitutes it, but a church community has to be transformative. It has to be, because the Holy Spirit is dynamic and encourages and inspires us, but really, does he do so and let us stay the same? So church communities are transformative. They are dynamic. Faith is also dynamic. Let me ask you, do you think that the church, and I mean this in general, not specifically, but in general, is dynamic? Church of Scotland, is it dynamic? Right, okay. If not, why not? Traditional, yes. We like things to stay the same, don't we? Right. Let me go back to what I just said. The Holy Spirit is dynamic. He inspires and encourages. And really, I would imagine, does he encourage things to stay the same? The church community has to be transformative because the message of Jesus is transformative. It is life-giving. Now, again, I wonder how many Christian communities do you know that are transformative rather than prescriptive, rather than going back to the traditional, that allow people to grow and change spiritually, to grow closer to God rather than to traditions. Because when church communities are more interested in buildings than people, then I might be so bold to suggest that what it means to be the body of Christ has been lost. The nature of community, as we know, changes over time. But a Christian community needs to retain the listening and the preaching, the gathering and the sense of community, or else it fails to be church. Tom Bolsinger, who is a theologian, an academic, he has been a pastor of mega churches. He writes books. He was the one that wrote It Takes a Church to Raise a Christian and Canoeing the Mountains. He said this: as God is, so the church should be. As God does, so the church should do. It is an incredibly challenging statement because it strips away the ways of the world. It strips away all the excuses and all the pretense from us. As God is, the church should be. As God does, the church should do. God is in community. The painting was a very kind of very old worldly description of that. But God is relational because God exists in three persons. The loss of community caused by the COVID pandemic has been catastrophic for many organisations and businesses, and for the mental health of probably millions throughout the world. It has been highly damaging for the Church of Scotland and for the body of Christ in Scotland. COVID has brought a fear of the other, a fear of gathering, a fear of community in person. It has also been quite a revelation, as many have decided that church no longer fulfills their needs. Now, we know this. Community needs to be worked on. Like all relationships, it doesn't just happen. This is a place where most churches are now having to build forward from. It needs to be gentle. It needs to be intentional and invitational. Relationships and rebuilding take time. It takes time for people to regain their confidence after the horrors, and I am using that word, after the horrors of the last 2 years. If this vital step of being gentle and intentional in rebuilding community is missing, then all the presbytery planning, all the mission narratives will be worthless, and we should be worried about what we're going to end up with. Because without community, there can be no meaningful communion. Mission cannot take the place of community and communion. The challenge over the coming weeks and months will be seeing if the different church communities in Dundee can work and gather together. Communities, even church communities, are different, as we all know, and not all will fit neatly together. The text today lays down what many have called the four marks of the church. Like a good film, if the plot is changed halfway through, the direction of travel changes. If the church changes track away from the listening, from the teaching, from the gathering and community aspect of what it means to be church, then what follows is a different story. Because we are not a liturgical church in the sense that the Roman Catholic or the Episcopalian churches are. We don't follow said or sung liturgies or mass like they do. We have a priesthood of all believers. Our communion practices are memorial, not transubstantive. This means that it is in the gathering and remembering Jesus and all that he has done that it is important. Because if we don't gather as a community, then we can't remember as the body. St. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. If we do not gather as community, then there is no witness." When church is reduced down to a Sunday, when it is reduced down to a consumerist attitude of entertainment of people's likes and their dislikes, then we have taken a different road from that which was intended by the early church. The text is very clear that the people came to listen to the teaching of the apostles. Notice that they listened, then they shared fellowship before anything else. So I wonder, some questions for you. How often do we make those opportunities for people to hear the word, to hear the story of Jesus? How many times do we ourselves take the opportunity to speak the words of Jesus and his life to others? In a city, you may argue there's lots and lots of opportunities to do just that, and you would be both right and wrong at the same time. Nearly every church in Dundee Presbytery is open on a Sunday morning, but try finding a service most other days of the week, and you would be hard-pushed to find one. We're effectively telling folks outside of the church that gathering only happens one day, when in fact most churches are open for a range of activities and services, activities during the week, but not for the listening and teaching. If making the word accessible doesn't happen, then nothing follows from that. If the life-giving message of Jesus' death and resurrection are not heard, if the reality of God's love for the world is not heard, then nothing follows from that. These were the basics of the early church. If there is no community, there is no communion. We hear it in the book of Acts that after Peter's sermon, people were baptized, their thinking was transformed, their lives were transformed. It's part of that transformation that we see the beginnings of the early church develop. Now, the early church in Acts is one where practice and community went hand in hand. And the text is an ideal. It was an ideal time just after the first Easter and after the first Pentecost. It was a time filled with hope and expectation. Many thought that Jesus' return was imminent. It's easy to be devoted to something when only a short period of time or small demand is made upon you. As time passed, attitudes changed, and we can see that in Corinth and elsewhere, where the idea of community was corrupted. COVID has robbed us of much of what we might have thought of as community. And as we return, hopefully now, to church buildings on a consistent way, we need to be intentional about community, about gathering together, and about how we care for one another. If there is no place to teach and to listen, there is no church. If there's no community beyond a nice welcome, if there is no time taken to gather, there is no church. Without community, there is no communion. I wonder what you consider your place to be in this community and in the wider church community. That's like something that I'd like you to think about over the coming week. What is your place in this community and in the wider church community? What do you consider is the most important challenge for this community and for the wider church community as it goes forward? We could throw about the words community and fellowship easily within the church, but living intentionally into those concepts and reality is, I think, the challenge going forward. And I wonder, really, if we're all up for that challenge, and sincerely hope that we are. To God be the glory. Amen.